It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go. 'Twas the morning before turkey season eve, something like that. Getting ready. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you, Sean.
That was a, before we go any further, too, big thank you to all y'all stopped by the Guide's Corner. We were at the Mobile Boat Show last weekend. Great conversations with so many of y'all.
Great show, too.
Yeah, and by the way, too, we did something new because with Auburn basketball, we weren't on live as normal. We were on for 30 minutes on the radio, then went to Facebook Live. We did that Sunday as well. You can go see those conversations we had over on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. And just, you know, some longer, an hour or so. Heck, Bobby and I think talked white trout fishing for 34 minutes or something like that. So you can go watch his videos.
Then you heard
the boat show.
Kurt Tillman on.
Kurt was, here's the thing Kurt was doing. And this is, I don't know if he's, so we were on Facebook Live on our camera.
Right.
Then Kurt Tillman had his camera videoing us and the Facebook Live camera. I don't know, some copyright infringement there, Kurt. Captain Kurt, if you're listening, I don't know what it was, but yes, that was, no, it was a good time. So
you gonna find him?
Yeah, oh, yes.
You're I'm gonna find him.
A tuna trip.
Yeah,
and we go catch one of those 200 pounders he's been after. But yeah, and listen, the next couple of weeks, obviously, we'll be talking about fishing as well. But there's a whole bunch of us excited. The fact that Tuesday opens up turkey season in Alabama. Added to our group of people excited. I think he's excited about it. It's our buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. Are you excited? You ready?
Man, I am ready for turkey.
I don't know, many of us who haven't been able to Mike will tell you, I think about turkeys year round.
Yep.
But come into deer season, it gets ridiculous with me. I mean, do you have, all right, here you go. Here's the first, we're going to do some quizzes here. Do you have a turkey call in your truck right now? Jay?
Yes.
Yes. Ding, Jay. Mike?
Well.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
what is wrong with you?
I'm going to have to lie tell you yes. So, no, I do not have a turkey call in my truck right now.
Sean? Yes. Ding. So, it's 2-1.
Yep.
Like, this is where you just, if you're riding around at a traffic light in the right areas of the state and it's quiet, you hear the truck over from you.
Yep. Here's the problem, Sean. Y'all need practicing. I don't need the practice.
Jay, did you hear that?
I hear it. I just don't know what to think about it.
trying to tune Mike Ward out on that one. So that's a couple of our quizzes. It's good to get y'all, Jay, and I do want to talk about turkey season. I do want to, at the beginning here, I told y'all before we started during the news break, there would be a little quiz in the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Turkey quiz. Y'all ready for a turkey quiz? All right, everybody's agreeing?
I'm ready.
All right. The earliest, so we're now, we can go into where it used to be in Alabama, but this is, you know, we don't start now till this coming Tuesday. What state opens the earliest, and there's two correct answers. What state opens the earliest for turkey season in the United States?
Go ahead, Jay.
I'm thinking maybe Florida.
Ding. Okay, yep. Florida. And then the one I gave Mike the answer to this one earlier.
That's why I couldn't answer, because I already knew the answer.
So does. And when I saw this, I said, well, I wouldn't even thought about that. But yeah, they're a state. You can ask them. Hawaii.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe part of California, maybe.
Right, but they open, but not that early.
Right,
but Hawaii opens. I think it's Rio's they have there. You know, they pull all these. They got axis deer and they brought all this stuff in there.
Right,
and they got Rio's and they start. So Florida and Hawaii. So yeah. There you go. There's your earliest turkey season open, gentlemen. What season closes last? What state has the season that closes the latest?
You're going to ask Jay, because I cheated on that one.
Jay, what state closes the latest for turkey season?
Would it be one of the Dakotas?
Nope. Let's think. There are two states that close within a day of each other. The runner-up is Utah, closes on May 31st, and the latest close is the state of Maine. They close this on June 1st.
Ah.
So I was just thinking, if we're going to take this turkey season to the max. You start off in Florida. Like, I know people who've done this. Dave Owens has been on with us, too, that you start this in Florida, you wrap it up in Maine.
Yeah.
So you start in February and hunt till June 1st. Y'all want to do that? I'm in.
I would love to.
I'd love to do it. I just don't know if my body can handle it.
Jay, you can handle that. It's turkey season, man.
I already lose weight every time.
Yeah.
You know what's funny you said that? Because I do, too. I really do. It's funny. People talk about, like a lot of people like say they lose weight during the summer. I gain weight. I mean, fishing on a boat and stuff like that. I mean, I'm outside, but I'm not working my turkey season. That is definitely when I lose weight because Lord knows I'd lose weight and lose leather off the boots walking.
Yeah. Well, I don't walk as much as y'all do. No, you know,
Have you hunted with Mike before for turkeys?
No, me and Jay hadn't hunted before together. No, not turkey hunting.
So if there was, if run and gun was one side of a coin, the complete inverse of run and gun would be Mike Ward. And that's why he kills him, because he doesn't go running around. He waits those jokers out.
Yeah. I mean, I do move around.
You do some, but not
like a lot of people. Now, let me tell you.
I hadn't been dripping sweat when you and I have been hunting together.
But I'm only hunting 350 acres, and only about 150 acres of it's good turkey wood. So it's not like I've got a whole pile of woods to get right now. If I had 1,000 acres, 1,500 acres, whatever, now I would hunt different. But once I got on a turkey now, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to wait him out.
No, you got patience like Joe.
I do. I'm very fortunate on that. I do have the patience.
Mike, you and I are a lot alike. I grew up with the turkey people that I grew up around. You know, you knew where you were going that morning, and you were sitting under that tree way before daylight and kind of engaged in the turkeys, and either you stayed there long enough to get it done, or the run and gun thing. I've done a little of it, but I'd much rather just locate where the turkeys are and get in there amongst them and wait them out and try to make it happen.
I'm a hybrid. I'm in between the two. I guess my run and gun came from all the years I hunted public at a lot of big public tracks, right? And I had to run and gun to be on turkeys. I'm real lucky now I don't have to do that. But there's still some of that wondering, what didn't I hear? I thought I heard a gobble over there. I think he may be on us. Yeah. I've sat here long enough. Like what my dad used to tell me, he said, sit until you can't sit anymore and then sit another hour. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound fun. But
and there's times I sit there and I think, well, I'm going to give it 10 more minutes and I'm going to get up. I mean, I've sat here for 4 hours, and I'm 10 more minutes, and I'll get up. Well, I'll say, well, all right, I've sat 10 more minutes. I'll sit another 10, 15 minutes. Then I'll sit another 10. Then, sure enough, here comes a turkey, and I kill it. You know, I can't tell you how many times that I should have gotten up and left, and if I had up, I would have missed an opportunity on killing the turkey. And I've done that a lot. And I don't kill turkeys at daylight very often. For some reason, I don't know why, I don't have them fly down right to me and I kill them and come on out of the woods. Most of the time, it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I hear them gobbling. They're all around, you know. But it's sometimes 11, 12 o'clock before I kill them. And I'm usually sitting in that same spot I started
at. Yeah, he comes back and finds you. I've watched it. You're deadly on them for sure.
Yeah.
Jay, do you the same thing? Do you have enough seat cushions to stay that long? Because Mike Ward does. He's got like he pulled the cushions off a Lazy Boy.
I have. I mean, especially hand-up turkeys. Last year, next to the last turkey I shot last year, guys, it took me 3 days to kill the turkey. All right. First day, turkey gobble like crazy. He's across the creek. And the creek's the property line. I stayed with that turkey. I left at lunch, drove to town, ate some lunch, said, you know what, I'm going to go back. Turkey gobbled all the way to the time he flew back up on the roof. So day number two, I go in there, I get in there early. I'm still on my side, of course, and same thing happened. All day long, that turkey gobbled. But he told on himself. He would fly down. He flew down. He probably gobbled 100 times that morning. Then he walked down the creek and got way down there, almost out of hearing, turned around and came back. And he went, came back to that same general area, but he's still on the other side of the creek. So day three. Day three, I didn't even go hunting until about 8:30. I went down there about 8:30. I didn't call to him. He's gobbling on his own. He got all the way down the creek down there. And then I moved in within gun range of the creek. And he came back. And when he, as he was coming back, I started calling to him and fired him up. And after about another hour of constant gobbling, he finally flew the creek and got on my side where I could shoot him. But that was, the longest I've spent, the most hours I've spent after one turkey.
That makes
me, that was an amazing hunt.
Yeah. Well, I'm in good company then, because I've gotten so obsessed with one. This is when you know you have a sickness. When you go after a bird, there's another bird blowing the leaves off the tree, right? He's fired up, a two-year-old or whatever. And you turn the other way to go to that bird you've been hunting that gobbled three times and then pitched down, and you hadn't heard, you know. That's when you have. That's when something bad has happened in your brain. It has happened to me before. I'm like, yeah, I know that bird right there is charging, but this dang bird over here has teed me off.
I think most of us have done that.
Leave you a bird that you probably have a better chance of killing that morning.
Right. But there's something about, I mean, that's what drives you crazy with turkey. And that's what's so much fun about turkey hunting is just trying to figure the bird out. You know, if it was like, go out, call one up, you kill it, I'm done. I'm not interested in that. I like hearing them gobble and drum and do all that stuff. But it's not so much. I mean, all of us want to kill a turkey. Don't get me wrong. But it's not always about the turkey kill. It's the turkey hunt.
100%.
You know, it's going and trying to figure, just like what Jay said, he spent 3 days trying to kill him and finally killed him. Nothing better than that.
Coming right back, more with all three of us getting ready for Tuesday. Got Mike Ward, Sean Sullivan, and I don't know which one waits longest, Jay Graddick or Mike Ward. We'll find this out when we get back. Welcome back to Turkeys Anonymous. Hi, my name is Sean, and I have a problem. Show also called FM Talk Outdoors.
And we're not the only one.
That's right. Welcome, Brother Jay. You're in a safe place here.
Well, you know, we tried to get Michael Waddell on here, and we tried to get Bill Jordan on here. Yeah. We tried to get Eddie Salter on here, and they were all busy today. But we got Jay on here today.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God.
I mean, the trash talking.
Yeah.
I just feel this is a place for all of us to feel it's okay. You're with like-minded folks. But yeah, I've got that problem year-round. I mean, people look at me and they say, Sean, it's September, and you're talking about turkeys. I said, yeah, that's the way I am.
Let me interject something. Before we were talking about getting a person kind of getting hung up on a particular turkey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's an etiquette that I live by that I respect turkey hunters. Yeah, well, I know it's a tough one, Mike. You're going to have to use your imagination.
I am.
But the safest, if you and I were hunting together on a piece of property and you told me that you had engaged with a turkey and that, by golly, you wanted to kill that turkey, that'd be the safest turkey that I knew about on that property.
Yep.
I'm not going to go in there. I'm not, you know, it's bad about you can be at a restaurant and talk about a piece of property somewhere that maybe other people have permission on, and they overhear a conversation. Well, guess who's going to be in there the next morning?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not me, and I don't like that. I feel like that. Now, if you mess with that turkey all year and work gets in the way or you're done with it and say, hey, Jay, go in there and see if you can kill that turkey. Well, that's fine. But there's just a little etiquette to it that people need, you know, I hope people respect that you've engaged in that conquest, if you will, and give you the leeway to give you an opportunity to succeed and not just go in there and try to bust in on top of somebody and mess up what they've invested into at that point. the whole nine yards.
No, for sure.
A lot of truth in that, and really a lot of logic in that. But there are some people that are so crazy on turkey hunting, they don't care. But they should have etiquette on that, especially if you're hunting in a club where you got four or five people hunting in a club with you. And just to say you got 2,000 acres and there's four or five turkey hunters in it, I mean, that is the way it should be. I mean, if you see a guy that's checked out for block number five over here and he keeps going back to number five every day, I mean, I'm not going to number five. I'm going somewhere else.
No, the best thing you can do with me is let me know.
That's right.
Really and truly.
That's right.
Now, a lot of people, they're so secretive. You know, turkey hunting, when I first started turkey hunting as a teenager, if there was a turkey gobbling somewhere, nobody was going to say a word about it. I mean, it was
and
like,
I'm a little bit younger than you, and nothing much changed in the 1980s when I started turkey hunting. That was the same thing, too. Yeah. Nobody, it was secret
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. But now, today, with as many people in the woods, if I'm hunting on a piece of property that other people hunting on, and not to say that I'm good enough that I'm going to kill every turkey I run across, that ain't going to happen. But if I don't know about that you're hunting a particular turkey in a particular area, and I mess around and hear him gobbling one morning, go to him and maybe kill him or mess it up for you, then the best thing to do is communicate amongst everybody and say, hey, look, I got this bird over here. I've been over here 3 days messing with him. And you don't even have to say, I appreciate it if you, go after some somewhere else. Because I'm going to stay out of there.
And really, that's the best way to make it work out for you is to tell. If I'm hunting, which I'm not hunting with anybody, but if I was, I would tell the people that, man, I'm down that's here right. trying to kill this turkey. Most people respect that and would stay away from where you're trying to hunt because there's more turkeys on the property. You know, it's not this is one place. And if you're hunting one particular turkey, and if you tell the folks in the club that that's what you're doing, most of them are going to have respect. They're not going to go in there and fool with your turkey. Yeah, that you've been trying to kill.
Well, just to add a little tangent to that, though, all those years hunting public land in the river swamp.
That's a different deal.
It's a different story. But here's my come apart. Like, I realize it's everybody's ground.
Yeah.
And when somebody would kill a turkey, and you hear they shoot the turkey, I was actually happy for them. See them back up the truck, I was like, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you, because I'd done the same thing. What made me have a come apart, this happened two different times, bird that I was hunting on big public track of land in the river swamp, y'all can guess where.
Yep.
And when they'd shoot and miss that turkey, and I'd see them on the road, and what happened, they missed it. And then I was hollering. I tried to keep my composure. I'm like, God dang it. If you go in, now you ruined it for all of us.
Yeah.
Either kill the dang thing.
Yeah.
You want to stomp on my hat. I'd get so dang mad. I was like, man, if you'd have killed it, I'd have been happy.
Yeah.
But now it's ruined for you. Ruined it. For all of us. Even though, like, you realize that bird still has to pitch out of a tree and walk around the next day. But to me, it was like, I'd be happy if you killed it, but you missing it, you ruined it for us.
Well, I mean, a lot of times you shoot at a turkey and you miss it, he might run off. But a lot of times he just come right back.
Yeah.
It doesn't spook them as much as you think.
But back then, man, if somebody missed it, I was I'd stand that damn dirt road kicking rocks.
Yeah.
I just wish you'd have killed it, man, so I could look at him. Now we got to deal with this joke going forward. Also, I want to throw this in, too, as we're kind of having a mix, telling some turkey stories here. Also, trivia as well. While we've had a reduction in Alabama's limit, Alabama still has the highest bag limit. We're tied with, Texas and a couple for four turkeys.
Really?
Yeah.
What's Mississippi? Do you know what
Mississippi?
Three.
Okay. Yeah, that was the interesting thing, too. Mississippi's has been going. They started, a week and a half earlier than we did?
Right, they started on 15th.
Yeah, so, then you ask this question. They started earlier, but you only get three gobblers versus starting when we do and getting one more. I don't know. There's not – we've talked to Chuck Sykes about it quite a bit. There's the number of people that kill a full limit of turkeys is not that – as a percentage of turkey hunters.
No.
It's I would guess it's sub 15%. Sub 10% maybe.
Right. I think the average person is probably
they kill a gobbler
two.
Maybe.
Probably the average guy that hunts on weekends, you know, most weekends.
Which was my life for the longest time.
We're only talking about like 5 weekends anyway. Yeah. I mean, he's not talking about 2 months long or something. So if you only hunt 4 weekends and you kill one every other weekend, that's pretty good.
And a lot of them die. This is the stuff that the biologists did, looking at the effects on gobblers and reproduction and all that. A big bunch of them die in the first 10 days to 14 days of season.
I agree. That's right.
I mean, that's, you know, if after that, it's just like we talk about snapper. Like, you leave the limit out there. Once it gets to be September, heck, even late August, the the number of people going drops big time, precipitously, right? Same thing with turkey hunting. After the first 2 weeks, let it get 90 degrees and people don't go.
That's right. Or they got ball games they're going to with the kids and other things, fishing season's getting going. So there's a lot of things that change. The first week to 2 weeks, you're right. That's when everybody's going at turkey hunts. But and especially if they kill one or two, a lot of times they start slacking up anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so you don't have that many people kill a limit of four.
Yeah, that's just
What'd y'all think about the season last year towards the end of the season?
It was – I can go back on my phone and look and see timestamp, but it's been good for me the last few years. So, I don't know, Mike?
Yeah, it's been pretty good, but I think last year –
I'm saying we're all weirdos, though. Most people quit after the first few weeks. I mean, I'll hunt it till into May.
But I think last year, I started fishing. The last week of the season, it got real hot, from what I remember, and I think snapper season opened up. And
Memorial Day, maybe Trigger opened back up. Trigger's open now, I think.
But, yeah. Something happened. I don't think
I've made myself the last few years hold out a bird so I could hunt them late and had success.
Right.
How about you?
Last year it was strange. I mean, usually in years past, I considered most of the turkey hunting up around where I'm at pretty much over with about, you know, and still have a week or so of the season left. But last year, that turkey, I told you, it took me 3 days. I shot him the last week of the season last year, had an inch and a half spur.
Man.
And then 2 days later, dang if I didn't kill another inch and a half spur turkey. Same property that I haven't turkey hunted before, that I have all – I'm the only turkey hunter on it. We call it the rooster pen up here north of Thomasville. And anyway, I had not ever turkey hunted on there, and I went in there that one day, and that turkey was across the creek just gobbling like crazy. But anyway, I'm like, man, these turkeys are killable this late in the season. And I'd always kind of thought that it died off that late in the season, but not to say it'll do it again this year, but. Hey, I'm going to give it a try.
You know, what you said about where you are, that's what's interesting. Talking to a buddy of mine, so he hunts up near Coffeyville, and he says, you know, they're kind of done, you know, before May there. I'm in Mobile County, and they're still, I mean, I got goblin birds through the end of the season. I'm lucky enough to live on the property I hunt, and I can tell you, end of May, June, and you still get up beginning June and hear turkeys gobbling.
Sure you can.
I got them, and they're strutting
even
in the road.
Even Marengo County. I hear them all the way. I mean, the last weekend of season, I'm liable to hear 6-8 turkeys gobble.
Yeah, so, I mean, people say they gobble out, and maybe on other people's property they do. I can't judge what other people have, but I just know in my place, you'd be pushing, you're into June, and they're still gobbling. I get out in the morning, walk out to the truck to go to work, and, you know, owl, and bow, 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 you know.
You know, most old-timers will tell you that, you know, later it got in the season, the better it got.
Well, once the hens go to nest.
Once the hens go to nest, they still looking for hens. So they, you know.
And that tells you that people get out of the woods, because conceivably there should be another big peak once those hens go to nest.
Yeah.
That those birds get, you know, get that 9:30 in the morning bird who's gobbled 75 times coming, just runs in to die. But we don't have if you look at the harvest, we don't have a super peak there. It's all in that first 10 to 14 days.
You're right.
I think it's because people aren't in the woods.
I believe, yeah.
Well, it's people in the woods, and those turkeys are competitive for the hens. I've killed a ton of silent gobblers early in the season where you got that one bird or two birds over there, and they're gobbling their head off, and then all of a sudden you get this, you just hear that.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? And the turkey's actually walking and drumming, and he's looking for you, but he's I don't think he's the dominant bird. I mean, I don't shoot jakes. I try to stay off. You know, I carry my binoculars. If I can, I want to look at their spurs if I can get a look at them. That can't always.
That's right. No,
I try to. Okay, but anyway, there for a while, man. Them silent turkeys that would come in and like I got kind of rolling hills on the property I grew up hunting on, and you'd hear him just over the hill, just that, you know, walking along.
By the way, Mike can hear that turkey in another zip code. I've never met a man, and I can hear drumming pretty good. Nothing like Mike. Mike can hear. He'll say, "You hear that bird drumming?" I'm like, "No." 10 minutes later, I'm like, "Oh, now I hear him."
Yeah.
Mike's been listening to him for 10. You got great ears.
I do have. I hope I don't lose that. I do have great ears, though.
Yeah, I can tell y'all, you know, about a turkey story. My brother was working, and he only had one day the whole turkey season off. My brother Tony, and so he and I came up here to Thomasville years ago. This was back in the late '80s, probably, and so. It was a windy morning like today, and I hunted. I'd been hunting, and he hadn't had a chance, so I give him the whole pasture back there, and I just hunted this one little end of it. Well, I got lucky, and I shot a turkey had real long, sharp spurs, and it was real windy, and so I didn't think nothing about it. He wasn't that far away from me, and a little while I see, here comes Tony, and I'm thinking, well, dang, he must have got a turkey because it's still pretty early, and he goes, man, he walked up on me. He said, "I done took the wrong day off." He said, "I hadn't even heard a turkey." I said, "Well, I killed one." He said, "No, you didn't." I said, "Yeah, I did." He didn't even hear my gun go off.
Yeah,
and he wasn't but like a quarter of a mile from me, a little bit more maybe. So anyway, that morning we hunted down the pasture, and we get down to the far end of the pasture down there, and there's a big gobbler under some oak trees out there, and we set up, and I get to calling the turkey, and Tony's just a little in front of me in a planted pines. We could up in those pines, and we could see out in the pasture. Well, that turkey come all the way across that pasture, walking straight at us. Well, I'm looking at his spurs, and I wasn't paying attention, no beard, and I could see that joker had hooks, and the turkey kept getting closer and closer, and Tony was shooting a 2 3/4 inch. I was shooting a 3 1/2. I just got a Browning pump. Anyway. That turkey walked up there, and I'm like, "Shoot him. Shoot him." And Tony turned to me and he said, "I didn't take a day off to shoot a dang turkey that ain't got a beard." And so anyway, the turkey flew off, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, damn, this is going to be tough. So we walked back down the pasture, and I had my turkey hanging on a tree limb, and I got it and stuck it in my backpack, and Tony helped me get it in there. And we're walking past this food plot that we have called Schoolhouse Patch. And up, I heard just that faint little, if you're good at hearing a turkey drum, you'll hear it when it breaks off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that faint little break off, you know, and I'm like, "Tony, I think there's some gobblers up in that patch strutting or drumming or something." So we snuck up. It was an elevated patch. We snuck up the bank of that thing, and we peeked through the bottom of the fence, and sure enough, there was two of them out there. And they were just strutting like crazy. They were in some clover, and there wasn't no hen. I'm like, dang, I don't see no hens anywhere. So anyway, I started trying to call to them and all, you know, and I threw the kitchen sink at them. They would gobble and they'd look, but they would not come. And, again, he was shooting that 2 3/4 inch. I had my 3 1/2. And I said, "Well, tell you what." I said, "Reach in my backpack and get that dead turkey out of my backpack." And we were down under that bank, so Tony got it out. He said, "What you going to do with it?" I said, "I'm going to spread his fan out and everything, and I'm going to call, and then I'm going to sound like he's drumming, and I'm going to turn him 90 degrees real fast like he's strutting and see if that'll get him to come." And so I could raise it up where they could see it, you know. And so I got the old gobbler out and tucked his head up, and I had him in both hands, and I made a little call, and I eased him up. I said, "Oh, can they see him?" Tony could see. And he said, "Yeah, they're looking." And I went, and moved that turkey. I said, "What they doing?" He said, "They're running." I said, did I spook them? He said, "Heck no, they're running at me."
Hey,
so anyway, that we on he got him a turkey on the way out that morning. We was walking out, and so that's just one of them opportunistic moments, you know. You won't never forget it.
That's for sure. Yeah. We're coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors here in the, turkey story space.
Yep, in the turkey studio.
Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors with Jay Graddick along with Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, our buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Process, and we're telling some turkey stories. Also, reminder, too, that first 10 days of season, no decoys in Alabama. And we're, you know, Jay and you and I were having a conversation about using decoys, and I definitely have used them and used them. I have different times I use them. But one of the things that, like, you and I were telling Jay, we're talking about it, is like for pasture birds, I've used it, you know, considerably on pasture birds and all that. And it goes back to this, if we're going to throw any tips into this week's show, and I'm thinking about, I've been lucky taking new turkey hunters over the last couple of years. So it's made me start thinking about the work instead of just sometimes turkey hunters, we just do stuff and we don't ever tell anybody why, because it's in our brain.
Right.
But I've told them in the past when they're trying to learn, I said, hey, look at your setup and tell me why the gobbler can't see the hen, right? What, you know, we'll know, like, where you set up, get a bird to close, is there's some reason he shouldn't be able to see that hen that's calling.
Yeah.
Well, when you don't have that in a pasture or something like that, that's where that decoy works. I mean, it works everywhere, but it works there better, because if you've set up on pasture birds before and hunted them, and I have without decoys for it was legal in the state and all that.
They ain't nothing over there.
No, and they may gobble to you, may strut 250 yards away, but there's no reason he shouldn't be able to see the hen, so he's not coming.
Yeah.
In the woods, you got a big blowdown, something like this. There's an idea that that turkey, okay, he doesn't see the hen. He has to come around the end of something or 90 in a road or something. But for me, Jay, that's been one of the things that's, you know, I think that's my logic behind hunting a pasture bird or a big field using a decoy.
Well, you touched on something right there that works both on turkeys and deer. When you call to a big buck, if you're in the only tree in a section and you're up there grunting and doing all that stuff at a big buck, he's looking under that tree and he don't see that doe. He ain't coming.
Yeah, it makes no sense to him.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way. Well, many, many, many years ago, turkeys. I used to sit in places where I could see a long ways and pretty bottoms and stuff like this. And I'm like, why in the world? Them turkeys, they come up to a point. And they
yeah, they're 75, 80 yards, 100 yards out there.
And they stop. Yep.
Yep.
And then down there at Packers Bend in the river swamp, I got down there and I got on a turkey one morning and it was a blowdown, like a little treetop that blowed down. And I thought dang, the turkey's on the other side. I need to be on the other side, you know.
Mm-mm.
Well, actually, when that turkey come around the end of that thing, he was about 35 yards, and it was perfect. And I'm like, you know what? I've been doing this wrong.
Yeah.
No, I 100% agree.
When you mentioned Dave Owens the other day, earlier today.
Yeah.
And last year was the first time I ever saw one of his videos, and he made a comment on a turkey he's hunting in a national forest that when that turkey come over that hill, he'd be at 35 yards, he'd be in range, and he could kill him. And that's the most truth. There's so much truth in that. If you didn't pick up on, if you're trying to hunt turkeys, please look at your setup, and you want that turkey to come seek you out. If he expects to see that hen, your odds are big time against you.
Yeah.
Clear.
Because Lord knows that if you can tell there should be a turkey there with our vision, and that damn gobbler's vision is so much better, he's looked.
Yeah.
He hears that yelp and he's looked. There's not a hen to be seen.
Yeah.
And he should be able to see right where that hen is.
If you want to know something amazing about a turkey, up here in these hills and hollows, that dang head's like on a periscope, and that eyeball ain't no bigger around than the end of your little finger.
Yeah.
And that joker can survey everything past what you think you can see. That easy.
Yep.
No, it's easy, you know, it's not out of, we talk about how much turkey hunting is about woodsmanship. Been lucky to hunt the same places and, you know how to get in front of a turkey because I know what they kind of want to do most times.
Right.
As soon as you think you know exactly what they want to do, they'll make a fool out of you.
Yep.
But that and using some kind of topography like you're talking about, Jay, or a blowdown, something, or Lord knows the turkeys I've killed in a 90 degree in a road.
Yep.
Yeah.
A big number of them because they're coming. They're already on a road. Like, oh gosh, you see a bird down there strutting. Don't get on the same track he's on and call him. Go back around the corner, and it drives you crazy because until you hear the drumming, you're like, is he coming? But you got a lot better chance of killing him than sitting on the straightaway where you can see him walk the whole way in.
Yep.
Agree.
One other thing too. A couple of years ago, I mean, this is just one example, but when you make a noise in the woods, if you're turkey hunting and you make a call to a turkey, your brain needs to be in the mindset that turkeys are hearing you.
Mm-hmm.
They may not gobble, and it may be boring to you, but they hear you. And just a good example was a few years ago, I was hunting up on this power line north of town, and it was a turkey in a green patch. He looked like a little bitty black dot way down there. And I was like, I don't think he can hear me, but I'm going to try. So I yelped as loud as I could, and I'm looking at him with my binoculars, and his old neck goes out, and he gobbles.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't hear him probably gobble, could you?
No, I could not hear him.
Yep, I've had that happen.
That joker turned, and I kept him. And if I can see a turkey react to my calling, he's in trouble. If you just got to call enough that when he starts kind of losing interest and getting off the line and maybe starts pecking around or whatnot, hit him with another call and get him back in tune. Well, that turkey come all the way down that power line. I videoed it with my phone. I mean, you can't see nothing but a little dot. Well, that joker got to a creek, and I'm like, well, this is going to tell the tale right here. He flew across the creek.
Yeah.
Kept coming. Well, you ain't going to believe this. I did that. I videoed it. I showed it to Josh, the guy who works for me up here. And I'd be dang, I went back over to that same place about a week later. It was in the afternoon, and there was another one down there. And I'd be dang if it didn't happen again. But when you make a turkey noise, be on the mindset that turkeys can hear you.
They can hear way better than we can.
Coming right back to wrap it up here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. This time next week we'll have stories.
Yeah, like, we're gonna have fresh stories. Yeah, I hope they're good fresh stories.
Although I don't know, sometimes a story where you didn't kill a turkey is more amusing to me than where a turkey's dead. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, our buddy Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. Just a few more minutes here as we get ready for the Tuesday launch of turkey season. By the way, if you are a business owner in the state of Alabama, and a man's late to work on Tuesday morning, please give him some grace. And there'll be some.
There's going to be a lot of people that take off of work.
Oh, yeah.
On Tuesday. Now I promise you that.
Now, Jay, listen,
and me and you will be one of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, I'm gonna get in here by noon to do the show. But
well.
Jay, here's what I was complaining about last week or week before, something like that. When they moved the time change, remember back during Bush?
Yeah.
They moved it when it used to not change till like a couple weeks past, and they backed it up, and I like daylight saving time. I like to come home and have daylight.
Me too.
But they did that. I think the turkey lobby should have fought that when Bush was in office, because it screwed a bunch of us up that worked for people. Because I could go, dang, bird be gobbling at 5 something in the morning. But see, I can hunt and do everything and be at work.
But see, here's the flip side. I get sleep an hour later.
I know, Mike, but I mean, back then I had to be at work like at 8, yeah. Right? And so I could hunt. Jay, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Exactly.
Thank you. You could sneak off and get a hunt and act like you've been up to nothing. Get into work, you're right there, work on time, do everything like that, and you had a full turkey hunt.
Yeah.
Well, enough that you'd get an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah. I know people that
hunt. Showing you how sick I am?
Yeah. Oh no, I mean there's people that are sicker than you. I mean, I know some people that hunt every day of turkey season. Every day.
Yeah, I'm about 50-50. Yeah, yeah. About 50, half the days.
Yeah. I mean, I don't nowhere near that.
You're a third, probably.
Maybe a third. I ain't be that.
Somebody hunts every day. They should get a medal. They should get a medal.
And they work.
What, like
they
as a bartender a bartender or something? Or when do they get to work?
Well, one of them's a lawyer.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, but he goes every day.
My insurance guy. I used to get tickets going through Mount Vernon and places like that at like 2:30 in the morning. And old Ed Cadden, he'd just shake his head. He'd say, he'd call me and go, "Hey, man, you're going to have to watch these points now. I know it's turkey season, but Lord."
You get too many points on that license.
Yeah. I'd drive up there, turkey hunt, turn around and drive back and conduct a day's business at my house, at my office. Day after day after day.
Yeah. That gets to be tough when you're driving as far as you are.
Yeah, I did it. I did it many, many times.
Yeah. See, I understand where he's coming from.
Sure.
I mean, it makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
You stay mad at a turkey like that.
Well, you're lucky. You wake up in the morning, walk out your back door.
My whole life has changed. You gotta remember, I now walk out my door and go hunt turkeys. But let's say that's not been my whole life. My life used to be get up, get in a boat, get on the Mobile or the Alabama or Tom Bigby River, right, and go to a spot, go in, hunt a bird, come back, put the boat on the trailer
in the mud,
and be at work.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I served my time.
You have.
That's right. Right. Look at the adventure you experienced and all. I can talk about turkey hunting for days. I mean, me and my brother, back in the day, the hunts we went on and what we did to go try to shoot turkeys and the memorable. I'll give you a real quick one. I went Easter morning one time. I done messed with this turkey two or three times, and I didn't think nothing about it. But right across the street from where I was hunting, they built this new church. And about daylight, all these cars come down the road and people slamming doors and everything. And I'm thinking, man, this ain't gonna work too good. And they're hollering and carrying on out in front of the church. And anyway, a little bit, the dang turkey starts gobbling. And long story short, the turkey flew down on the same ridge I was on that morning that didn't bode very well for him. Anyway, he had three beards. When I shot, the singing stopped at the church. They were out in the front yard singing. The singing stopped. The car doors started slamming and people started cranking up and driving out. And I had no idea they had a sunrise Sunday service Easter morning. And I wasn't a quarter of a mile from them when I killed that turkey.
Well, tell you what, that's the story we end on. Let me just say hallelujah. That's the best story.
Hallelujah.
Jay, as always, man, great talking to you. Good luck this week.
You guys too.
All right. Thank you, Jay.
All right. We'll do it again next week, and hopefully you'll have some recent turkey stories.
We will.
All right. Y'all go get in the woods. Have a good time. Be safe.